On the Sunday before Memorial Day, I ask you to join me in a moment of prayer for all who have given and continue to offer their lives for this nation. Let us pray. Almighty God, we submit our prayers of gratitude to you for those who have served this country with their life and limbs to preserve what has been deemed essential to our health and well-being, our freedom from tyranny. As we recognize this darker side of our history, the one that continues today to take its toll upon members of the armed services and their families and friends, it is important to acknowledge those who have sacrificed their lives for us, for the sake of a nation. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for their lives given. We pray also for an end to war and violence. Amen. Good morning. I have to admit right up front that today's scriptures were a bit of a struggle for me. At first reading, I thought, okay, no problem, because the theme of water leapt out at me. The phrase, the waters of our baptism, kept running through my head, and I thought, this will work, I've got it. So in the Acts, everyone is gathered at the river for prayer. Lydia and her household were so moved by listening to Paul speak that they were baptized. In the Revelation, the angel shows John a city of plenty with a river running through it, and on either side of the river, the tree of life with 12 different types of fruit and leaves for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed would ever be found there ever again. A perfect world healed, made whole. And then there's the Gospel of John and the pool called Bethzatha. The pool had 5 porticos, or porches, where those who were ill or in need of healing waited until the waters were stirred up. The story is that an angel would enter into the water and stir it up. The first person into the water during this time would be healed. Many people waited. Many were left behind. All wanted the healing waters that would restore them. They sought wholeness. This past week, I attended a memorial service for a friend at St. Francis Xavier College Church. And the very first thing I saw as I entered was the baptismal font that was flowing into a pool. The water was constantly moving, circulating. It was living water. It reminded me of the pool in the gospel reading. The feeling I had as I looked at that pool, as I looked at the waters, is the same one that I get when I stand looking out into the river. The water is constantly moving, as if its purpose is to change all things in its path. The water living, bubbles popping to the surface as if the river is breathing. To stand in the water can be a struggle, yet to feel the pressure pushing, pulling, is to feel that presence of God surrounding me, moving me, breathing on me. Jeremiah described God as the spring of living water forsaken by the chosen people of Israel. And remember the woman at the well? Jesus told her he would give her the living water. That living water, that moving water, is something that we can relate to right now. The rivers all around us are at flood stage as they rush their way to the Mississippi River or on to the Gulf. Storm after storm has pummeled us, dropping water in buckets from the skies, disrupting the lives of everyone. These living waters are a caution. There are risks. Currents can cause us to lose our footing. We can be washed away metaphorically and in actuality. There is beauty and there is danger in water. It can be peaceful or it can be violent. But regardless of the calm or how stirred up it may be, the living water changes our lives. Our baptism in water and spirit draws us into the basic foundations of our faith. From Paul's letter to the Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We are baptized with water and spirit in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our baptism, we are changed forever. And then we have this reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus sees a man lying on one of the porches of the pool. He knows that he's been there for a very long time. He asks them simply, "Do you want to be made well?" But rather than answer yes or no, the man complains that he has had no one to help him into the pool when the waters are stirred up, that it takes him too long to make his way to the waters before the waters become calm again. Jesus tells him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And he does. He's made new. He's liberated from the bondage of his illness. No thanks or gratitude or offer. And this man was not touched by the living water. He wasn't touched by the actual water. He wasn't sprinkled, dipped, or immersed, yet he was changed. This is the third miracle or sign of the seven in John's gospel. Jesus has already changed the water for purification rites at the wedding in Cana into wine for celebration. He has already cured the royal officiant's son. Both of these times, there were witnesses. Plus, there were requests from someone for Jesus to act. And there was amazement at Jesus' actions. This third sign is different. Jesus initiates the miracle. The man asked for nothing. In fact, with further reading, we learn that the man didn't even know who Jesus was. And at the time, there's only the two of them there. They're the only ones who know what is happening. And biggest thing of all, the man doesn't even know that Jesus can heal him. Plus, he doesn't seem to be very likable. He blames others for not helping him. He doesn't even show any gratitude when Jesus does help him. John's author notes that all this happens on the Sabbath day, and that's where our reading ends. That's a bit of a foreshadowing because we know that Jesus acting on the Sabbath is never the end of the story. More likely, it's the beginning. When Dean Cathy asked me if I would preach today, I arrogantly said, "Sure, I'll always want to preach." I have been humbled. What was I to do with this miracle that the man did not seek, did not seem to appreciate, the water did not touch him? And then I realized that maybe it's not about the man at all. William Countryman suggests that Jesus extends a kind of special baptism, a special privilege to the man, bypassing baptism, to show that God is free to act directly, even violating religious norms, regardless of how important the outward and visible sign of the water of baptism is in this gospel. The transactions between God and humanity cannot be limited. That invisible grace is constant. We know Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. He showed that in commanding the man to stand and walk. Even though the man did not ask, did not request it, regardless of whether it was the Sabbath day, in spite of whatever consequences came about because of it. If the word gospel means teaching and the teaching and the revelation of Christ, and the church's mission is to share that good news, what then are we called to do? We believe that Christ has died, that Christ has risen, that Christ will come again. We pray that our faith is enough to get us where we hope to be, that our good works will make up for those moments when we have been less than stellar. We pray that we will be forgiven for those things done as well as those things left undone. And we try to love God and our neighbor. Yet as we try to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can see that he actively set about turning the human world he saw upside down. He confronted injustice. He challenged the oppression. His role seems to be one of liberation, setting people free, not just from the bondage of their sins and illnesses, but to free them from their own limitations. He did not do these things to make the religious authorities mad or afraid. He didn't even really do it to confront them. It was all about doing the work of God. And the work of God is love. Not just love for certain people on certain days or on certain occasions, but every person, every moment, whether they deserve it or not, regardless of their gratitude. We limit ourselves by setting restrictions on other people. We forget that we can be agents of change, but that the change must start within us individually. I saw an internet meme of a young woman holding a sign that read, "I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am challenging the things I cannot accept." This does not negate the idea of the prayer of serenity used in recovery programs, which urge us to understand that there are many things beyond our human control. Rather, it accentuates the courage to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. There are some things that we can change. And there are those things that we need to leave solely to God. There are so many challenges in this world, in this nation, in this city. What do we do first? We seem to be a society that values the right to own a firearm more than we do the lives of our children. We fail to change the poverty that racks the future of our nation by denying good food and good education for the minds and bodies of all children. Too often it is easier to be violent than it is to speak in love. There are so many instances, too many to count, where innocence has been ripped away, causing everlasting harm. Jesus went about righting the wrongs, healing the sick, and raising the dead, even though sometimes it violated the norms of the day. God calls us to bring justice and mercy in all things, to right wrongs, to love one another. Still, there is that pesky little thing called free will given to us by God. We're free to choose our own paths. We're free to believe. We're free to disbelieve. We're free to seek healing or to give thanks. And we are free to not do so. Sometimes we choose the way of Jesus, and sometimes we do not. God's gift of free will is to us is both our blessing and our bane. The angels stirred up the waters of the pool so that the people were healed of their infirmities. How can that mission of Christ be stirred in us to bring about the work of justice and mercy for all? What are we to do? That's a question that we all have to answer individually. But this work belongs to each of us. There is forgiveness. There is healing, regardless of whether we ask for it. We need to be healed, to be available to heal one another, to be made whole by love. And most of all, there is always God's grace. That wholeness is with us in the words of our baptism, in the gift of water, in the waters of our baptism. It is in it that we have died with Christ, been raised in his resurrection, and been reborn by the Holy Spirit. And this invisible grace is with us always, whether we remember or not, whether there is water or not. It is in this water that we go forth, a people reborn and renewed, freed from the limitations of our own oppression. And in closing, a prayer in the words of a hymn, God of grace and God of glory, a little earwig for you the rest of the day. Cure your children's warring madness. Bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Almighty God, help us to remember the good works that you have prepared for us to walk in. And please bring us into that time of a healing of our nation and all other nations, where nothing accursed can be found there anymore. Amen.